Hey, man, I don't think we should be out here on the farm so late. Can't the goats and sheep wait to be taken care of, like, till tomorrow?
Normally, yes. But, you know, that thing has been lurking around town lately.
Okay, well, let's just hurry. It's cold and I'm scared of the dark.
Okay, let's just get the animals put in the... Oh, no.
Oh, man, it's the...
Chupacabra!
You! What's good, my guys? Just thought I'd drop in on my favorite bras. Maybe see if you dudes had anything I could nosh on.
Please, bro. Don't eat our goats.
Yeah, man. Please, spare the little cuties.
Ew. That's way harsh, my dogs. What kind of mythical urban legend do you take me for? I need something much less gnarly than barn animals.
Bro, then we got just the thing for you.
Yeah, man. Why don't you check out Tigre Burritos?
Tigre Burritos? Nice. Like, what kind of grindage would I be partaking in?
Well, they offer breakfast burrito combinations that include sausage, chorizo, potato, and egg.
And they offer lunch burritos that include beef and chicken fajitas, barbacoa, carne guisada, chile verde, and more.
And if you're feeling something other than a burrito, they also serve quesadillas and menudo.
Dude, that's wicked perfect for when the chupacabra had too many cervezas the night before and wakes up feeling all goose and whatnot.
Okay.
Well, Tigre Burritos is open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they're located at 720 Highway 62 in Wolford, Texas.
Yeah, go terrorize them instead of us.
Ah, I'm so stoked to stuff my pie hole with delish comida. I always thought you guys were some kind of posers, but you're really some OGs for hipping me to Tigre Burritos. I'm going to go and pick up my Betty right now and cruise on down there. Thanks, Broseph.
No problem, Chupacabra. Shaka.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
John Eric.
Media.
Okay. Here we go.
All you ladies, pull your chichis out. This is the JP Lopez Show. Also, if you're a transgender, pull your pecker out. This is the JP Lopez Show.
What is up? Thank you for tuning back into the JP Lopez Show. Gotta get some newcomers here, some fresh fish. I got Andrew and Jewel Hill, and together they're Hill Barbecue. What's going on, guys?
What's up? How are you?
Howdy.
Man, I'm so happy to have y'all. Super stoked. I know I messaged. I don't who handles the Instagram account.
I don't know. We're back and forth.
Yeah. Well, look, in Hill Barbecue world, this is the truth from the get-go. When I burn the hell out, then she takes over, and then she burns the hell out, and then
turns.
I take over.
We have to.
It's too damn hard.
I didn't know if y'all had, like, an employee that just...
No.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so I messaged y'all a long time ago, and it all worked out today, so... Hopefully you guys are not hungover from the 4th of July or you put in an extra day of vacation for the day after. But once again, super happy to have you guys on. I've got to, like, off the bat, tell you how much you mean to me, man.
I appreciate you.
You saved Christmas for our our very first... you know, because Mexicans don't own shit. We bought our house when I was 40 years old. That was the first house we bought. And I know I told you the story, but, you know, my wife was like, all right, Christmas is at our house. And then my mother-in-law was like, well, fuck y'all. Y'all cook. And I threw up a Hail Mary, man. I messaged you at like 5 a.m. on Christmas. And I intended for you to maybe say, like, this dude's stupid. And you're like, yeah, I've got a brisket for you. And you replied back at like 7. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
I was in my PJs, and I showed up. And just we did the transaction in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Holy
I was like, please tell me that you have a Square. And he was like, yeah. I go, because... I mean, this Mexican's broke and all I have is a credit card. And he was like, yeah, I'll take my Square. And then I told him the story and he was like super sweet, like nonchalant, like, hey, man, we'll make sides for you. Like, we'll make rice and beans for you real quick. I go, no, you have no idea. This is everything. Like, yeah. So yeah, it was Christmas Day, 5 a.m. I was like, you know what? It's worth the shot. But
nice.
And we did the drug deal at Cooper, right?
Yep.
Cooper High School. Yeah. let's just jump right into it, man. From that day forward, even you know before then, I truly believed in your barbecue, man.
Thank you, man.
I've been a fan of your barbecue since you guys were holding plates down and in the little canopy downtown.
Yeah,
dude, we listened to that episode of you talking about our table. We're like, holy shit, it was just a table.
I don't know what episode it was, but we were driving somewhere.
I think we were going to a barbecue fest.
Yeah, and then we were just like listening to whatever episode that was, and then y'all got into barbecue, Lubbock, and then you were like, Andrew, he just had a table. He started with a table. We were laughing our asses off because like that's how we felt at that time.
And it was Embers, right?
Out the gate, yeah, over there.
So your origin, no, I may be mistaken or correct me if I'm wrong, but was it in Leveland?
So I'm Lubbock, born and raised, and then she was from Loveland, and then she moved over here in her younger years to be with myself, you know. Mm-hmm.
Your wonderful self.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyways, so then after we had our first kid, then we were both in school, then I was like, okay, we're doing barbecue. I just like put the brakes on school because, I mean, I had known barbecue a lot of years, and that was something I always thought maybe could do later in my life. But then when we had our first baby, I just switched and was like, barbecue now. And the only reason we did Leveland is just because we happened to go see her parents one time, and that right there on the main College Avenue where all the restaurants and stuff are was an empty lot. Actually, it was a – man, it don't even get me going down this rabbit hole. But for real, there was like a shed there that was like – it was outfitted as a coffee business.
How ironic.
Right. But they didn't make it, I guess. And then I looked in the window. I'm like, oh, shit, this is ready to go. And, you know, nobody in my family ever had done business or, you know, me and Jewel learned all this stuff from scratch, man.
Yeah.
So basically, that was in 2000.
YouTube videos on how to start a business.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been ridiculous. Yeah. I can cook barbecue all day, but business has been learned, like, honestly. But, yeah, 2015 is when that was. And then, I made a deal initially with the guy. He was saying that was his land, but then like a month down the road, I figured out he didn't even own the land. He was going to buy the land, but he owned the building or something. So then I was like super down because we already had our...
What kind of shiesty stuff is that?
So we already had our... And that's how our barbecue dreams have been this entire time.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So that's... It started off on that foot, but we've been hell-bent the whole time. And I always tell people I'm hell-bent and hell-bound, but it's because... So then I got in contact with the guy that did own that property, and then I worked out a deal with him. But then the other guy took that, you know, what I thought could be our barbecue shack. He took it away. So then we were down again, and then she's like, no, we're already doing this. Let's get our own shed. So that's how it all started because I got one of these new sheds placed over there. But then it drug out. It took me 2 years to build out that thing as a restaurant. It was nice, though. We put in work. We built that pit, the first one, put a cook shack on it. It was we were so proud in that time of our lives. Proud, we were broke as hell. By then, we had two kids. We didn't do anything fun for 2 years, dude. I swear it sucked, man. We were like tied down trying to, we had a dream that we were going to open this restaurant and then we would just be like, we were like, it'll be so good. When do we get open? So the day that I got approved to be open, finally, 2 years later, which... Our opening day was on our wedding anniversary, So nice. June 1st.
I mean, yeah.
And we were like, oh my God, you know. And then, out the gate, we were into the new place in town, but...
That's a sign. We're a success. We made it.
Well...
opening day is our anniversary.
Well, right? I mean, we were like, you know, I don't know. 4 months in, let me jump to it. 4 months in, we were like, I was like, Jewel, this is not what I expected because... I was working over there in Leveland Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I would wake up Wednesday morning. I would not go to sleep till Saturday night.
God.
Because I didn't have a warmer. We thought we would like make enough money to get a warmer. get help, but we didn't ever. We had one person that helped us a little bit, but it was just me and Jewel, and we had the kids. So every morning she'd have to run the kids over through the cotton fields to meet my dad in the middle of the cotton fields between Lubbock and Levelland. She'd show up. I'd be hanging on by a string, just pounding the hell out of coffee.
Are you still holding down like a 9-to-5 while you're doing that?
No, that time, because people don't realize how much of a full-time operation barbecue is, even if you're not open making money. So we were just open those 3 days. But, you know, like I said, we'd be getting food all from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, wood, whatever. And
we only had a little Jetta.
Yeah.
So we would go get wood in our Jetta and like in the trunk and shit.
The wheels on that car kind of go like this in the back if you pay attention to it, because it had so much weight on the in the trunk.
The back seat's got splinters and shit.
But, I mean, that was us trying, like, the whole time from the get-go, we're just like this belief, like, oh, we're going to make something up, which we both come from hardworking families, right? So, like, you know, we just have this, I guess, work mentality that's like a little insane, actually, I think, when you combine us. But about 4 months in, I'm hanging on by a thread because I'm like, half of the week I didn't sleep at all until Saturday night. And then it took 2 days for me to come out of that, like, where I felt like I wasn't in, like, tunnel vision. And then by then it's already Monday evening. And then Tuesday and then Wednesday we started again. And we did that for 6 months. So we knew we were going to close. We made the decision at the end of December, we're going to close. And I was so, like, messed up that I was like, Jewel, I'm not doing it. Like, I pushed on this for 2.5 years now. And I felt like I let everybody down, my family and everything. And I said, I'm getting my CDL or I'm going back to work or whatever. I got to provide for the family. Well, she got sucked into what I already knew, like, back in my Bigham's days, is, like, serving barbecue and, like, meeting people and, like, you know, the enjoyment out of that, you know. And so she's like, Andrew, everybody loves our food. And she's like, we're doing this. And I'm like, well, you find us somewhere to do it. I was like, hands up.
I was out, dude.
I was like, I'll cook if you find us somewhere to do it. She said, okay. So she did all that work. This is how it's always been. It's been back and forth. And anyways, so she set us up with the art guys down there in the downtown area before anything was happening down there. Like, Two Dogs wasn't even there and nothing was there. And so I'm like, all right. And then so we did the first thing. We called it a pop-up. But then we just kept coming back every single week because those guys down there said, we want people to come down here more. We want foot traffic. So then we were like, well, we can do that for you. Like, yeah, so then, yeah. I mean, it was like, what? That was in January we started that. And then luckily we were surprised, but like Avalanche Journal put us on the front page of the newspaper in that month, I think.
I think so.
And that was Ember's Barbecue, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then, but we were like trying to, the whole time, honestly, between me and her, trying to escape this whole, like, we felt so down about Ember's Barbecue because we had our sights set on that for 2.5 years and we felt like it was a failure.
It was like negative energy connected to that name. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to switch it. So like halfway through that year, 2019, we switched it. And then we did 2 years downtown, which, you know, you were always going to, but it didn't matter. Like, if it was sleeting or Haboob or whatever, it didn't fucking matter. Like, we were going to be there. and the reason why, I mean, we're, like I said, we're hellbent and hellbound, but the reason why is because, like, there'd be 5 a.m., it'd be sleeting, a storm would roll in West Texas style, and I'd be texting Jewel, like, fuck, dude, like, we done fucked up again. And then she'd be like, no, you know, whatever. And then she'd get there in the morning, we'd set up the tent, you know, hurry, you know, get it all knocked out. And we did everything on the pit that back then, like all the sides and whatever. And so it was like crazy. But as long as people would be in a line, old women with a umbrella and the sleet's hitting them in the line in the morning. And I'm like, well, fuck, if they're going to stand in line for us, then, and like, thank God. I always tell everybody, I prayed. At that point in my life, dude, I was cooking with the hobos in downtown Lubbock. I felt like I was one of them. But I was working, like, right? I was working for my family. But I didn't have shelter. You know, I didn't have a car down there for a long time. And so it was fucking cold in the witching hour at 5 a.m. That's what I call it, because the air changes. And
so Lubbock weather is unpredictable, mm-hmm. right? So in the crappiness of this bad weather and the overnight cook, and you don't have a car there, mm-hmm. where was your shelter?
I didn't have any.
Well, our guys were eventually, they were cool enough to like let us into there. Yeah. There's a metal shop down there.
They gave me the code or whatever to get in there just to get out of the weather, but
it was cool. I mean, it's a shop, a true shop.
But
so
before
it was cold.
Then, you were outside.
I was raised to be a son of a bitch, okay? Yeah, because I was raised in a construction family, cow trucking, like just like country ass people that worked their fucking ass off. So I had already done my fair share of all that too. So, like, I didn't give a shit. I was just like, I'm here to provide for my family, to do a good job, whatever it takes. So, it might be literally, I'm not fucking kidding, 9 degrees outside at night, 5 a.m., and, like, I'm fucking praying for that sun to come up. At like, where it, when it hits, like, 6, 7, I'm looking at the horizon line. I'm just spinning in circles by the pit, like, fuck, like, some of those mornings. And I mean, dude,
or pumping out sausage,
or yeah, I was making sausage in downtown Lubbock on that fucking table,
dude. I commend you, and that is the poster child of sacrifice and doing whatever it takes to provide, man. That's awesome. I mean, it might not be awesome when you were in it.
Looking back, I'm like, I tell everybody looking back, I'm like, why did you do that, you dumbass? Yeah. Like, but I just had this mission and this like goal, like, in it. But it went back all the way from when I was like 17 years old, and I worked at Bigham's, and I, you know, I cooked and served barbecue like crazy, and I started developing these dreams of like, well, what's mine going to taste like? What is mine going to do? Like, so I had this like, I'm telling you, it's like all this energy from like all the way back when, and back when we were in downtown. How old was I? Like 31. 32? Yeah, 31.
Yeah, 31.
So, I mean, that's already a lot of years of, like, in my brain. I guess, like, looking back, I get it more now. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it now, honestly. Like, I still tough some shit out, but it eats me up pretty fast, yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, I understand, but dude, I still commend you because that's an awesome story, man, for making shit happen for your family.
And then, so this is where I met you, you know, downtown. So in the morning when that sun comes up, she shows up, all the shit's coming off the pit, and then boom, we're ready to serve, you know. And there's, you know, 90% of that line doesn't know, even know. Actually, those customers are like our OG customers, yeah, right? Yeah. We're closest to those customers, like, because everybody, you know, they know us more. I don't know. But, yeah, dude, like, nobody realized that, like, what the... I feel like a lot of people didn't realize, like, I'd been up all night. Like, sometimes people would be like, you've been up all night? I'd be like, yeah, this is barbecue. Or there'd be, like, a young kid. They'd be like, one guy tried to tongue crap to me one time, like, oh, this is how y'all do. Y'all just get everybody to line up and blah, blah, blah. You're making the money. I'm like, no, dude. I said, my eyes were always bloodshot and shit. So I said, did you sleep last night? You know, he's like, yeah. I was like, well, good for you, because I didn't. Like, I feel like shit right now. Like, you know. But that was the goal, you know. And my prayer, though, all the time was that all the people would show up. And y'all, you know, y'all did, dude. And, like, to this day, I'm, like, so thankful, like, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I first had your beef rib when you were out there, and that sealed the deal, man. I was like, I'm coming back for forever. And I would, like, scoot out because we don't have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, like, dip out and go get lunch with you and bring back, you know, just a ton of barbecue. And people were like, where the hell did you get this
from? Damn.
And I'd be
like crazy ass
downtown, man. Like, downtown. Yeah. But how did y'all meet?
Oh, man. We met at a place called The Sweatshop.
Yeah. This is Lubbock history of Lubbock, local underground music. So me and my buddies back in the day, we had a house, or my buddy had a house. We were supposed to be in college, but we just partied.
Yeah, yeah.
We partied, man. And
pay tuition to party.
Yeah. So basically, I booked a band, and then it was like, cool party. We were like, oh, let's keep doing that. And that was in MySpace days. So we sent out mass emails to all these like bands across the United States. Some of bands that got real famous. Well, I took their ass to Josie's back in the day, you know. But we partied. Like, it got down to, like, every other night there,
like,
was a band.
Like, they're famous now, but you had them in town?
Yeah, in the damn house. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. There's a lot of bands like that. And, but, like, at the time, it was, like, cool as hell at first, you know, and then, but we just, like, it got to the point it got away from us. We were just young kids. We didn't know what we were doing. It wasn't even for money or nothing. We were just, like, we wanted it to be cool and fun. We played music ourselves.
You paid the band, though?
No, like, tips if like people would give tips or whatever, but yeah, it was like, it was basically, it was crazy. It was crazy.
And y'all called that the sweatshop.
Well, she,
dude,
was
like,
she was in high school still.
Years old when I first went.
And
there.
Whenever her and her two friends would come, they were all, you know, the little group of girls, and me and my friends would be like, what the hell are they doing here? Like, they're gonna get us in trouble. Yeah. I was only 19, but I felt like I was, you know, I was like, yeah, they're yeah, gonna. Yeah. I knew my way around. You know, I'm like, these girls are gonna get us messed up, man. But that's where she first, you know, came into my life. And then, like, just down the road a little bit, like, we started talking, and then she moved in with me, and that was it, man.
We would talk on AIM.
Yeah.
All the time. All hours of the night.
Yeah.
AIM, is that an app?
AIM?
You America don't know Online, AIM? Man. AOL Instant Messenger.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't an AOL person. Yeah. Yeah. So... Man,
but that was like, yeah, and then and so she knows me as the artist, music guy initially, and then, like, after she got to know me more, she's like, this dude's weird, he wears barbecue, he always smells like smoke. And
oh,
wears...
I was a vegetarian,
yeah,
yeah,
you were,
yeah, for like 7 years, and yeah. I was a vegetarian in that time. And he was, like, all obsessed
and
with barbecue.
And her family, too. Like, her mom still is. It's, you know, for health. And then her brother, though, they kind of did it all together back in the day. But then when I came around, then I started going to their house every weekend. I'm just cooking barbecue and drinking beer. And and then one by one, her family, they start picking them off. Because yeah. They, like, what, like, her brother, Javi, like, literally one day, he's just, like, holding a beer, standing over the grill. I'm just like, hell yeah, you know, doing my thing. He's just like, man, today's the day. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm going to eat it today.
I tell you what, man. There's no way I could be a vegetarian.
Dude, I have tried since then, like, for health reasons, and I can't do it. But, like, back then, I did it for no reason at all.
She wasn't eating good enough back then.
Yeah, I was eating. Like, I was eating, like... I don't know. Not, like, a good vegetarian.
No, I'm talking about before. You never had good barbecue. Oh. You never had... You know, you have to meet the love of your life.
I guess that's true.
I've do got to tell you that the love that you guys show each other, whether it's like a Facebook post or whatever, it's awesome, because you don't really see that hardly at all. Like, the marriage that is bonded really strong, and you're a family man, you're there for your children, obviously. Yeah. But the post that you that y'all show love to each other, like, it's uplifting and it's motivating for me.
That's
least.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Wow, don't make me cry. That.
No, I really do enjoy that, because I love the mess out of my wife, but those posts are few and far between. So it's like a breath of fresh air to see that. To see y'all guys praising each other and loving each other, man.
I don't know. We're a traditional style couple, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, nowadays there's a lot of, you know, like equality and all that. And we're all about that, too. But at the same time, there's some sort of goodness that comes out of a traditional style. Sure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. She tries to take the reins, but I'm the guy. I'm fucking...
I would like to think that I run my house, but we all know that I don't run my house. But, okay, so you guys moved from downtown into the Yellow House Coffee Shop.
Well, we were on that. Yeah, well, we got the little food trailer going.
That's
for
right.
a while.
That's right, because you went behind Jack and Jill and Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so right. I'm sorry.
That was a little lot down by Cooper.
But that was kind of a bit of relief, because you had that little trailer downtown too.
Dude, as soon you had no idea, as soon as that sucker got done, I mean, shit, we felt like we moved into a mansion or something. Like,
we were thankful.
I got me a chair, dude, that kicked back, like those camping chairs. And it was a tiny trailer, but like about five, I would plan my cook to where I would wrap my briskets at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And after they're wrapped, you don't have to, you know, you can, you know, the way I cook anyways, I don't watch them hardly after that. I just like pump it full of like heat. And so after I do that, you know, I plan it just right with the ribs. I was putting them on, or, you know, whatever. I give myself a time frame. So, I get in that camper and kick back and just, I mean, I swear to God, dude, I'd look at the little roof that we just installed on that camper, like, you know, because we put it together ourselves, and I'm looking at the roof just thanking God, like, that I had a shelter, and I'm like, holy shit, like, damn, you know. And, you know, for the longest time, you got to keep in mind, like, we... With Ember's Barbecue, 2 years it took me to build that restaurant or whatever that we had. And so from that point of giving that up to even just moving into Yellow House, so however many years that was, 3 years, right? Or 3.5?
Dude, I don't even know.
Anyways, that was like our full circle moment when we moved into Yellow House, because all those years I was chasing, like, you know, I was so down that I had, like, we had to give up the Embers. Because it didn't work, wasn't going to work out like we wanted it to. But then, like, so, I mean, that whole time, really, I was chasing. Just, like, I felt like a 2 steps behind. Like, yeah, I'm going to catch it. Like, I'm not a failure, you know? Like, and so, yeah, when we moved into Yellow House, that was, like, euphoric almost, like, for a good while. Like, I was just like, dude, it's weird, like, how, like, we're back in a building and it's better than what we had, like, initially, in the, you know, it's bigger and, you know, more like...
So you're in the trailer. You guys are in the trailer behind Jack and Jill. Mm-hmm. Did that feel like home or no?
Actually, yeah.
I loved it there, but we also at the same time didn't feel like we were going to be there that long.
Yeah. Okay. We just sensed it. I feel like every step of the way we've always been kind of like weary. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen? Is something going to happen? Or is something better going to come along? Like, you know, not getting too comfortable.
Yeah.
And then Yellow House. That is that home?
For now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's home. We already, it's crazy, man. Like, because there's times already where we're like, man, we already outgrew this. And like real quick, like, we don't have places to push it. And we're like, how the hell did we do all of this in this little tiny ass trailer? Like, I don't know how, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just made it happen.
Dude,
man.
When we unloaded the trailer and like to bring it all over there to Yellow House. Even in the trailer, we had so much shit, and we were like, where did it go in the trailer? Like, how, like, where? Like, it's like we packed it in these, like, I don't even know. It was weird.
So we lived in an apartment, me and my wife, while we were dating, living in sin for years. And then we rented our first house from her mom. Her mom owned a house that we rented. Mm-hmm. We finally got out of an apartment, and when we moved into that house, we were like, how did all this shit come from an apartment?
Exactly, dude. You never know how much you have until you have to move.
Yep.
We threw away a lot of, because we had no room in the house. We're like, how the hell did we have all this shit in an apartment? Yeah.
Yep.
So I get it. I definitely understand it.
What's cool, though, about Yellow House is, though, like, just the space that we have. Like we've been able to hire, like, people and, like, have, like, more of a legitimate operation. You know what I mean? Cause, dude, like I said, I don't think I could do like we have to share the responsibilities now. Of like I'm too damn old
to do it by ourselves.
Yeah.
Now
there's sometimes we feel like we are still, you know, like through this last winter we were bare bones. Like, it was damn near just me and Jewel again. But, like, man, it eats us up pretty hard, pretty quick.
And then so you get into Yellow House Coffee. And you guys start selling coffee and pastries.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'll go in there all day for all your pastries, especially your cornbread, like, all day. Yeah, it's, I'm just so happy for y'all to just see the growth. You guys had a fried chicken. It was fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yep. Not too long ago. And then y'all are doing brisket smash burgers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I spoke out of line. I defended Nirvana because I was like, that's Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea that y'all sold it. And then my buddy was like, Yeah, you're wrong. It's not Hill no more.
Yeah, we sold that sucker.
It was.
When we moved into Yellow House, yeah. It was like, first of all, doing barbecue and that together was just insane. Like, I don't even know how I kind of felt like how Andrew felt like when we first started barbecue. Like, I was kind of losing my mind a little bit. And then we moved to Yellow House, and I was like, Andrew, like, I can't do it anymore. It's way too much to keep up with.
We were constantly ordering. I swear to God. Like, we still order a lot of food all the time. But, like, when we had both those things, like, it was just, like, nonstop, like, placing yeah. orders. And, like, I mean, juggling, just trying to be perfect with, like, do we have this, like, you know, mm-hmm. you miss one, like, bottle of mustard or something, and you're like, it's like a mm-hmm. big fucking mm-hmm. deal, yeah. you know, yeah. like. Like, because you already placed, like, 20 orders that day, yeah. it seems like. It feels like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And the few times that I did go to Nirvana, you guys had employees for that, right?
We did. Yeah. Towards the end, we tried to leave it up to only the employees. But, you know, then it goes back to quality and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And me and Andrew are both kind of control freaks. So if, like, one little thing is off, I'm like, well, then I'll just do it myself. Like, you know, like, I'm just that kind of person. Yeah. Which is not a good thing, but I don't know.
Our thing is, like, if people are going to pay good money, you know, we're appreciative of that, you know? So, like, better be a damn good product. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like...
I feel like it's disrespectful to give someone, like, yeah. crap quality if they're paying for it. Like, that's so rude. I don't care if the item is, like, $10. Like, that's not... You know, it needs to be...
Yep.
Do it right. So...
And then you guys are in barbecue, which is already expensive just for the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, you guys have worked out a way to get your food to, like, sandwiches or stuff like that, when a lot of places still haven't done that. So, I mean, hell yeah, man. That's awesome. I want to get into promoting your pop-up,
mm-hmm.
and that's coming up in a few weeks on July 16th, correct?
Yes.
And it's not going to be at your...
No, it's going to be at Two Docks Brewing. So they have, like, a really cool, like, local jam that they, like, have a bunch of musicians come and play that night. So we picked that night. It'll be at 5 p.m. And then, you know, tickets are on sale, so pre-order type of situation. But, yeah.
Two Docks, July 16th. This is going to be... I mean, it's called the Banditas, right?
Yeah, Barbecue Banditas. It's me and actually my sister-in-law and then Simone, who owns Taste Buds Food Truck. So we're all kind of teaming up and putting together a menu.
It's just some women power.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, get the listeners to understand that you have to go to this. Because this is... all your social media, you can put on your pretty hats, you can get your girls together,
yes.
split the ticket, and I mean, can you imagine the social media posts that you can make from
exactly
with the pretty hats, your girls, mm-hmm. and I mean, it's gonna be a cool deal.
It's gonna be cool, yeah. dude. I'm really excited. The menu is way different than Hill Barbecue.
Can I clarify the guys, just because of a post or a question we had got. Guys are guys need to come eat barbecue.
Oh,
too.
Sure.
Her thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody thought it was just a girls only can buy too, and we were like, wait, no. It's just girls that are like doing the work.
Well, the husbands
know?
Can pay for the ticket.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm glad you said that because yeah, we kind of did promote it as a girls only, but I mean, your thing is Banditas, and it's gonna be a cool deal. I mean, guys and girls, but yeah, you're missing out on some. Nice social media post to be yeah. out there. And where can they get these tickets at?
Hillbarbecue.com. We have it on our pre-orders tab.
And you guys also offer catering too, right?
We do. Yep. For weddings, whatever you need.
All the info will be on mm-hmm. hillbarbecue.com.
Yep.
Sweet. You got a brand new shirt that's out.
Yep. That was Andrew's daily project.
She's Papa... Dude, I've been wanting to make this shirt for a long time, but this is one of the... Yeah, I have a lot of things that get put on the back burner. That's it. Today, I was like, it's happening.
Gang.
Yeah. Cheesy Papa's gang.
Sweet.
There's a lot of people that are, like, overly obsessed with Cheesy Papa's. Like, to the point where I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, my wife's one of them. Yeah. As long as he's got Cheesy Papa, she's all for it. There's been several times we went, and they're like, we're sold out. And she's like, oh. But let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Man, Eric, it's such a great day here in Angel Grove.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh no, it's Burrito Repulsa and Lord Zedd. They're here to ruin the day with their bad musical taste, and they're sending their monsters to fight us.
Jonathan, you know what we have to do? It's Kipo time.
Graduation.
Weddings.
Quinceañeras.
All parties and events.
Give DJ Kipo a call for all your party needs. He DJs quinceañeras, graduations, weddings, and all the other types of parties. He can be reached at 806-441-0491 or Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok.
Well, it was a long process, but we finally got the Generic Media Studio looking exactly like we wanted.
Yeah, Jonathan, it looks awesome, man.
Eric, dang it, dude, not again.
Yep, here they come.
I'm so sick and tired of that giant lizard and giant ape fighting all the time. They wrecked our studio. Dude, why aren't you upset?
Look, take it easy, though, buddy. I got a trick up my sleeve. Let's call Patriot Paint and Construction.
Patriot Paint and Construction?
Yeah, they service commercial and residential customers, and they specialize in paint, drywall, and all types of remodeling. And best of all, they take no money up front.
Are they a new company or what?
Actually, Jonathan, they've been in business for more than 14 years, and they're actually insured and bonded as well.
Quick, give me their number. I gotta call them over here right now.
Give them a call at 806-544-7199, and let them know that you heard about them on the Generic Media Network.
And we're back. You guys, let me ask you this. Are your kids tired of barbecue?
They're tired of hanging out at our barbecue joint.
Yeah, they're tired of the work, like the work aspect. They're like, oh, y'all got to do work for that? Shit, you know?
But our little girls love to eat some barbecue.
We eat barbecue as a family, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like, every week, because, I don't know, quality food over, you know, trying to eat, like, because naturally we have kids, so we're going to eat McDonald's and, like, that's like trash food, you know?
When I was first following you way early in, I guess probably when you were downtown, I would see that you would post like Eddie's Barbecue and Tom and Bingo.
I thought that was super cool as shit, man.
Like, it wasn't like a competition. It was just all a camaraderie of that's just shit we do.
Well, back to what I was saying earlier, like, you know, we know the work in like what comes, you know, behind it or whatever, like people, you know what I mean? So if I go to Eddie's to eat, for instance, you know, there's a reason his eyes are bloodshot, like, you know, because God knows what happened that morning, and I ain't even gonna ask, you know, like, I'm just gonna just, you know, show up and eat some food, honestly, like, but I'm gonna promote him too, because like dude, like, what, a couple months ago we went to Wiley's, we go there quite often. Shit, man, he said, pull around the front. So we did. His pit's on fucking fire, dude. Right? His pit was on fire, like blazing, dude. His little cow pit. And because the lid was open. And then, so I ran inside and I was like, dude. I wanted to just go over there because I'm a pit man myself, right? But I was like, no, this is this guy's shit. So, like, whatever. So I ran inside. I'm like, hey. I'm like, Wiley. He's like, you know, he's an older man, you know, he's like, what, you know, he's stubborn.
With
like
his rude demeanor.
Yeah, but he's a barbecue man. There's a reason too. You know, he's wired like that. He's just like, what, you know, he knows who I am. But, and then he's just like, I'm like, your pit's on fucking fire. He's like, oh, God damn. And he's fucking, he takes off walking outside. He gets the shovel, you know, like a badass, and just closes it. I'm like, God damn it. And I mean, that shit's just like, all that grease is melting out, and he's just like cussing. He's like, that he left it open, that damn, you know, because, you know, new barbecue cats, a lot of the time, like, they don't realize, like, you know, little details, like fucking safety precaution, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then ever since then, like, he sees me and he I could just tell he's like, this motherfucker, like, not only does he come eat, he fucking, like, his shit might have burnt down or something that day. That fucking fire was big, dude. Like,
yeah.
And then we seen him haul ass out of there while we were eating our food. And he comes back just like a little while later. He has ribs. He's just cutting them open, you know. And I'm like, that's the kind of shit, dude. We fucking do that all the time, dude. Like, God.
Literally putting out fires.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, is it, Do you know? I heard two stories. I heard he's closing, and I heard he's moving.
Wait, why?
I have to take this shit up with him.
Damn, I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
So I heard he's closing because he's moving, but then I also heard he's just closing. I don't know.
The burger game is tough now, like percentage margin wise, yeah. Like, dude, honestly. So, like, I personally don't know how older joints that with lower prices. Like, this for a long time that I've been like, how do they fucking stay open? And how do they pay? You know, if they're staffed and stuff? Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck? Because we've struggled so fucking hard with that. And, you know, like, we charge crap barbecue prices. Like, you know, like, but yeah, the joints, you know what I mean? That charge, like, still so low. Like, I'm like, how? Like, how?
I was a kid going to Wiley, so if he does close, it'll be a sad day.
Man, I fucking love it, dude. Yeah. Daniel Vaughn from Texas Monthly just came through, and I was like, dude, you need to hit Wiley's. He said he's eaten there before, but I was, you know, I was bragging on. I'm like, dude, Wiley's is the only place that I know of that you can have like a charcoal flavored rib, dude. Like that, I said, that reminds me of home. Yeah, like you know, it's so fucking good, dude.
That he put out a fire for.
Exactly.
So I guess we'll use that as a segue. I don't want to bring up any negative shit, but you guys experienced a bit of a fire yourself, and I know we talked off the podcast that you felt some sort of way from that post, but I kind of like loved my city that we all came together to, I guess, show y'all love and show y'all that, like, you can't, like, it, I mean, it was just awesome. Like, yeah. I can't even put it into words because, like, everybody showed up for you guys. Yeah.
It was definitely overwhelming. I feel like a lot of the time, Andrew and I feel like we're constantly fighting for our business. Maybe sometimes we feel like we don't get the recognition we deserve in some sort of a way. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of proof that, like, I don't know, people like us. People want us here.
Jewel was serving that day, and, like, she just said, like, people, what people were saying or, like donating or whatever, dude, like, was just like, because we were definitely that morning down and out.
We were so down and out.
It was like night and day, down and out in the morning, and then by the evening, we were just like, you know, which,
like,
we know.
I was straight up for real in that post when I was like, you know, if things keep happening, like we were dealing with Andrew's concussion, so he, you know, was gone, and then we had the thefts, and then the fire was like the cherry on top. So I was like, you know, like, we can't take any more of this. Like, if something else happens, I mean, I feel like people see us as like a joint that's like, we're okay. Like, you know, but really we still cook week to week. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time we're still on this week to week like thing. So I don't know. That morning I was like, we could potentially be done if something else were to happen. Like, I knew that in one way or another, we would figure it out because we always do. But I don't know. I just, like, didn't know any other options at that point.
But it's like I told you, like, the post that you post, I felt it because it was, like, real.
That shit was crazy.
It was a real...
That shit got shared. We've had, you know, posts get shared over the years, you know, like, some more than others or whatever. But, like, that sucker... Like, I had people from South Texas that were, like, they came up and ate.
Yeah.
And they were like, man, I seen your post. Like, that shit got shared, like, 700 times, I think.
I definitely did not intend. Like, my point of that post was, like, come eat a burger. Like, that's all I need you to do is come eat a burger. But it definitely blew up into more, which was very helpful. And yeah. I feel like we're also, like, I don't know, we're kind of stubborn. Like, we don't ask for help from people. But, like, that day we needed it. So it was just really cool to see it, like...
And it just sucks because, like, y'all were getting hit back-to-back with thefts.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, like, one brisket, right?
It was a total of, what, four?
Yeah. It wasn't, like, super hardcore. I mean...
Okay, so the day...
It's profit loss, like, for sure.
That's
like,
the thing. It's profit loss. It's not, like, necessarily the amount of brisket, but it's, like, we knew that because... We had so many lost that we weren't going to bring in the numbers. We have to meet a certain amount of numbers every day, and we knew that wasn't going to happen.
And then the day that it was the fire, it was the whole damn cook.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that...
I'll laugh about it now. I mean, like, shit.
It's not four briskets. Yeah. It's someone reaching into your paycheck.
Exactly. Like the money that we use to take care of our kids and pay for our house and
pay the bills at the restaurant, pay employees.
Pay employees, all that. Dude. Yeah. I mean, it's not just our pockets they're dipping into. So
yeah. I'm sorry that y'all had to go through that, but I'm glad that y'all guys understand the love that you have here in town.
Lubbock's the best, dude, about the support. But, I tell people this all the time. Like, the Lubbock, I want to sit here and say the Lubbock community, but that's not even what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the demeanor of people in Lubbock or in West Texas, West Texans, people who come from Colorado to eat with us or whatever, Austin, wherever. I'm like, you know, and they're interested in, like, our food or our region or whatever. I'm like, first to tell them, like, you know, West Texas is, we're crazy sons of bitches.
It's
like
the best Texas.
Yeah. because people's demeanor here, are different from other parts of Texas because there's I tell everybody there's like a swagger, you know, and but it's also like. Like, I'll punch you in your face, but I'll also take care of you, you know? You know what I mean? Like, don't tread on me, but, like, man, I got your damn back. Like,
I'll wipe your nose from the blood and feed you. Yeah. So, let me ask you, what's your favorite home-cooked meal?
My favorite home-cooked meal? Damn, I don't know. Probably my mama's Mexican food.
Dang. Really? Yep.
Yeah.
Her mom can cook, dude. Vegetarian or not.
She can cook.
She smells the meat and like right after she cooks or whatever, and holy shit, dude.
Is there a dish that's number one?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, sometimes I'll just call her up and I'm like, Mom, like, I really need some carne asada or something, you know? Like, I just need like that taste of
home.
Is it
beef or pork?
Beef.
It's beef.
Yeah. And she'll hook it up, tortillas and everything. Yeah.
What's your favorite home-cooked meal?
Man, I love food, bro. There's a reason why, you know, we sell food.
But you tell me from time to time that this is your granny's recipe. She's got to have...
I grew up on, like, southern fried food during the week or sometimes the weekends. But then the weekends were, like, barbecue. Like, so, I mean, I guess, if it had to come down to it, it had to be some... I don't know. I want to be like, chicken fried steak. I mean, everybody loves that, honestly. My family could make a mean chicken fried steak.
Yandra's dad makes the best chicken fried steak I've ever
had. It's fucking good.
And I've tried to, like, go places and order it, and I'm like, no. Like, your dad's is better.
Yep. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I miss, honestly, dude, the old barbecues we used to have back in the day. And you know what? My uncle that would cook at a lot of those barbecues, he's still around and kicking. And every time he's around, he comes to the restaurant sometimes and, like, you know, people are around. And I'm like, this is the motherfucker right here, you know. And my uncle don't see himself like that. He's like, well, now he tells me, you're the dude. And I'm like, no, dude, you're the fucking dude. Like, I'm always like, come over to our house and, like, let's cook, man. Like, to me, I'm like, this dude's a cook, you know.
Yeah.
He loves to drink beer. He's like the best barbecue I ever tasted was somebody who's half lit and don't give a fuck, like, you know. And I'm like, I agree 100%, dude.
My favorite I can't have anymore. My pops passed away, but it was his fideo.
Oh damn.
Hell yeah.
And if, like, I've said it on the podcast, like, if it was like a last meal before my execution, it'd be my pops fideo.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would go on vacation. You know, old school Mexicans, you go see family for your vacation. Yeah, you don't really go to a vacation. Yes. So he'd go on vacation and, you know, of course, they'd bring me. I was a kid. And, like, his family would make him, hey, make that fideo tonight.
That's funny.
On his vacation.
Yeah. But I'll ask you, what's your favorite feel-good memory?
I thought about this earlier. I think, honestly... I mean, you know, I don't know. I have a lot of crazy moments in my life, whatever. I'm all crazy. But when it comes down to it simply, I think it's just when all my babies were born. Like, in those moments. You know what I mean? Because it's like, just like, not only does it check your ass, but it also puts you at peace in that moment. Because you're just like, nothing else fucking matters. No problems you have or nothing you got going matters. Literally just like, damn.
How many babies you got?
Three. Yeah, grace of God in that moment.
And three girls.
Yeah.
And how many shotguns do you own?
I got two right here.
So I got to be honest with you, man. I've had several people, not on the podcast, just my friends, people close to me were like, you know, I'm supposed to feel a certain way when my kids are born, and I never felt it.
Yeah.
Not to say like, I don't love my kids, but they don't feel how you felt.
Hmm. I don't know. I love that woman is all I can say. And, you know, I don't know.
I mean, they're great dads, but they've told me, yeah, like you're like, hey, I'm supposed to feel how the movies tell me I'm supposed to feel. And it was just like another day or.
Andrew's very in tune with his emotions. He's a very emotional person. So
I have a lot of rage, and I have a lot of, like, if you really get know me, I have a lot of rage, and but I also have, I don't know, just, I also cry during a damn movie, you know. But I say that's because, you
on
know.
On a damn commercial.
Yeah, commercial. Twix. Yeah.
On a TikTok.
But it's just because, like, where I come from, man, like, my family was so close growing up, and, like, we were poor as fuck, man, and so we had each other, and we had those weekend barbecues. You know, like, I don't know, people, love in my life, it means a lot. So, like, I love Jewel, you know, like, which is ironic, which is crazy, because actually she come from a poor family too. And, like, so we have a lot of the same, you know, ideas about life. We're in tune with each other in that sense, you know what I mean? Like, with same goals, and things mean the same thing to us, you know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Both of our families have been through a lot. So, we went through a lot growing up. And
then when we got together, we started going through a lot together. And it was just
the
like...
The struggle is not new. Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
When you were a kid, did you know, like, you were poor? Or did you know your parents' financial situation?
I think so. Yeah.
Because I didn't.
I think so.
I did, straight up. I would always, like, be, like, out the gate all the time, just be like, well, my friends or these cats at school, like, well, they're different than me.
Yeah.
You know? And, but it was, like, a pride thing when I was little, too. It was, like, well, at least we have each other. That's what I'm saying. That's where it comes from. There's, like, the origin of, like, my makeup, I think. I was happy as long as we were together. We could get good food with each other. And, like, man, blessed. You know what I mean? Like.
And y'all grew up real tight in your family, too?
Yeah, we were real close.
That's how come whenever I got with her and I was barbecuing on the weekends, I just, like, fell right into her family because everybody was already, like, every weekend hanging out.
It wasn't new to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that time in my life, like, I had people in my family that were, like, you know, getting older or, like, dying and stuff. Like, so my family dynamic had kind of changed a little bit. And then so it was crazy because I met her and just, like, kind of fell into what I was missing for a while, like, and I was like, holy shit, I feel at home, like, with her family, like, you know what I mean? That dynamic was the same over there at that time period, mm-hmm. at least, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like it was the same too, like, at, you know, later on down the line when me and Andrew moved in, like, right next to his parents,
yeah.
So we were there, like, constantly every day. I feel like that's the same, like, I just kind of fell into their world when I was missing certain things with my family, so...
I like that. I think that is awesome because it was, you weren't like, oh, we live next to my in-laws.
Oh, hell no, dude. Yeah. I'm like, I can't even really talk about it because Andrew's mom, unfortunately, has passed away since then. But, yeah, I liked her. I liked her. She was a good mama.
I liked her a lot. What's your favorite feel-good memory?
I don't know. That's a tough one because I want to be like, oh, when my babies were born, but Andrew stole it. So I don't know. I guess maybe the day I married him. I feel like being with Andrew, I have just learned a lot of different things about life, and I can, like, things are reachable that I never thought were.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. And also I'm kind of a timid person. Like, I don't, I'm not very adventurous, and he's opened up that side of me a lot. So yeah, I'm going to go with that.
we were, she moved into my apartment, and I think like a month later, basically I was like, cause I would go to Colorado every now and then when I was younger, And I was like, you want to go to Colorado with me? She's like, yeah. And then I remember that morning, I mean, I fucking had the tent and I had the sleeping bag. I was rolling it up on the carpet in that apartment. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I said we were going to fucking Colorado. And I, so she lived with me for a month, like barely started dating. Like, and we fucking went to Colorado for like a whole week or something. But like, I mean, we always say or think, like looking back on that, we're like, dude, that Colorado trip sealed the deal with us because yeah. it was like total adventure. You know, she hadn't, or she'd been to Colorado, but
well,
not like that.
The ironic thing is, like, I actually grew up going to Colorado every so often as well because we had family there. But I didn't go to Colorado like he went to Colorado. I went, like you said, to go visit family and, like, do one little thing. He was, like, driving around the mountains, going freaking camping for 2 weeks, like, up high in the mountains. And so that
she
whole
was tripping out.
Dude, I was tripping.
She was scared as hell to be with
like
me in the middle of nowhere.
Like, I had been dating him for a month, dude. And we would be rounding the corner and I'd be like, oh, we're going to fall off the mountain or whatever. Like, straight crying, dude. And he would have to pull over and be like, it's going to be okay. So, yeah.
This is the day I die.
Exactly.
But then we come back to the flatlands and, like, you know, shortly after that, she's looking back on the pictures and stuff like that. And we're like, oh, my God, that was, like, magic. And then so actually for until we had kids, every summer we would go to Colorado like continuously. I don't know. And then we had Hazel's. So we were, you know, the business and stuff. So yeah. we were like too fucking broke to ever get back there. We barely went back to Colorado last year for our first time. Hazel's 7.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but man. And then she actually said this last year. I took her for her birthday to see a concert. And then we went up into the mountains where we used to go a little bit, and but before we went, she's like, I don't think I like Colorado anymore. I was like, Jewel, I was like, we went there on our honeymoon. I was like, I don't think you even fucking realize what you're saying. Like, you fucking forgot.
Yeah.
And then we went.
I know what I'm saying.
And we went, and then she's like, that day, like, what the fuck?
And
this
now
is
I'm
like magical.
Now I'm like, Andrew, should we move there one
yeah.
day?
Yeah. we're two goddamn Texan, like entrenched, like we got old, you know, in Texas, in West Texas specifically, like yeah. that we're like.
We're not liberal enough.
Like
for that.
Something, you know what I mean? Like people are different regions of the world. Like you got to have, I don't know.
Well, was your dad hard on you? Did he show you a bunch of shit?
Or? Dude, my dad is a jack of all trades, so that's kind of why I am, I think. But like, I mean. I'll sheetrock this whole room. I'll tear it down and sheetrock it for you right yeah. now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll do that. I can put up a house. I can run electrical. I can dig a ditch. And
that's all because you're dead?
Yeah, dude. Work on cars. Anything, dude. And then, like, but naturally in life, I'm an artist type person. Like, I've been drawing and painting and shit since I've been, like, 5. Yeah. So then I have this whole side of me that's like I went to art school. Or I wanted to anyways. I got my associates, but she did too. She got her bachelor's in art.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
At Tech?
At Tech.
Nice.
So, but yeah, dude, like.
Do you paint or draw or?
Photography and ceramics.
Yeah.
You do ceramics?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while, but.
She's about to get back into it. I'm pushing her.
My dad yeah. painted ceramics.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool,
that
dude.
Has a special spot in my heart.
Dang, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll have to. You know what? I have a perfect gift for y'all. For real, because it's just in my garage collecting dust, and I bet you guys would appreciate it because I would like it to go somewhere because
uh-huh.
my dad pump. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and I'll uh-huh. surprise you with it. I'll drop it off this week.
That's awesome, yeah. dude.
What is it?
I'm all like, it's up your alley. That's all I can say. Right up your alley.
I'm sure we'll use it or whatever it is. We'll be grateful for
my
it.
My dad painted. My dad, like this art trail and like these farmers market, my uh-huh. dad would make a killing if yeah. he was still alive.
Yeah.
And he would like 20, 30 hours on one ceramic piece and yeah. just give it away.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yep. The life of the
See,
artist.
Yeah, that's the artist life. And then the business side of me is like, hell no. Yeah. Like, you're going to charge for
and
that.
When my grandma passed, I was like, Grandpa, my dad's ceramics, when you pass, they come to me.
Yeah.
And then he passed, and I was like, sorry, uncles, like, all this shit is my dad's. It's coming to me.
Yeah.
But it's so much stuff that yeah. I've got that mm. I don't have room for it. So I've got mm. a piece for y'all that I would love to give
nice.
Y'all.
That's gift awesome, y'all. Dude.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Yeah, for sure. But let's speak real quick on you sing too.
Yeah, that's my other outlet. I'm a crazy dude. So, like I said, I have rage and emotion. Okay,
Andrew needs a lot of outlets.
I need outlets. I'll be a very detrimental person to myself and everyone around me if I don't have those outlets. So I got to be painting or drawing or cooking or like playing music. Music's easy for me because I can just literally pick up a guitar and start writing songs and you know. But I've been playing since I was 17 and writing songs for like the last couple of years. It wasn't until like literally last year where I started playing some songs where I was like, holy shit, like that's what I've been looking for. You got to find your sound. I don't know. People are.
And you perform at the Blue Light.
Yeah. Doing that and then recording an album little by little. It's, you know, session here, session there. So
are you on like Spotify or?
No. I don't have anything released yet. So like maybe next year, maybe this year, maybe next year, I'm going to start releasing some songs. And just try to play more. Honestly, I played a couple of different venues, or Blue Light, and then I went to Dallas and played Magnolia Motor Lounge. And then I played, like, you know, I just play wherever, like, honestly, right now. But as soon as I get some music out, then I can maybe get, like, a legitimate gig with. Like
you did a show at Eddie's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Eddie's Barbecue. Oh,
dude, I was so upset because I was like, I have the day off. I'm going to go check them out. And then it got moved.
Oh, right? Shit. Yeah.
And I was like, fuck.
Damn, dude. Yeah, I'll do it again because it was fun. It was cool. It was my vibe. Like,
yeah.
I go in there and eat so much. And then, like, one day she waited in the truck and I went in to order for us. So I was standing by myself, not talking to her or whatever, and not didn't have the kids. And I literally was staring at that stage. And when I first ever went into Eddie's way back in the day, like, there was a band playing there, and I've never seen a band since. So I literally was staring at that stage and was just like, I can play that goddamn stage. Like, I'm not in it for money at this point. Like, if somebody tips me, fuck yeah. But, like I just want to play my songs I'm writing, honestly. So, yeah, hell yeah. He was cool. He's like, he didn't even hear me or nothing. He's just like, yeah, whatever, come on. Yeah. So I was like, fuck yeah. And he trusted, mm-hmm. Which I know how it is. Like, people sometimes ask if they can play music, but I'm like, well, is it jiving or like you know what I mean? But so I went in there and I play more like honky tonk blues, like it's got rhythm on it and stuff, like more traditional style. But yeah, it was cool. Like, you get the vibe off people, like, I don't know, it was so fun.
Are you like my wife? When you roll up somewhere and sit in the truck, you're like, how long am I going to wait in this fucking truck?
Absolutely, dude. Andrew's a talker.
I'll get a text and my wife would be like, did you forget about me?
Well, my text is usually like, the girls are freaking out.
Yeah.
Or like, someone has to pee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, babe. I told you to get off, man. Like, That's awesome. Do you, the floor is yours. To promote anything that you'd like.
I don't know. Barbecue Banditas and then Andrew Bradley Hill on Instagram. I'm trying to build the music brand right now, honestly.
And I seen that verified checkmark. Way to go, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's some high life stuff right there.
You pay for it nowadays, actually. She said, don't pay for it. I said, it looks legitimate.
He paid for it, dude. He's one of those. I was like, don't be one of those.
It looks legitimate.
To be honest with you, but it
makes sense because he's like, well, if I want to play shows or whatever, I want someone to know that I'm like real.
Because
legit.
I was meeting people, or I went to this festival. Man, this is crazy shit. I went to this festival because she won tickets. It's a big festival in Texas for Texas country music. It's been going on like 23 years. Larry Joe Taylor Fest. Larry Joe is like a country like songwriter, right? Mm-hmm. He's played with everybody, you know, probably Willie Nelson, you know, everybody. But he has Melody Mountain Ranch, his ranch that he hosts the festival on every year, Stephenville. So she won two tickets, and then because of work, I was like, we can't go, dude. We just can't go. She said.
Me being the loving wife that I am.
My wife is badass, dude.
The loving and supporting wife. I said, just go.
She did. She said, go, take your brother. I'll hold down the restaurant. And that was whenever I first started like playing and like.
You turned around, he's gone.
Yeah. He didn't even finish his sentence.
Yeah. He's like, peace. So I don't even think that he hugged me goodbye.
Come on.
He just got in his truck and left.
No, but like, that was like when I first started playing my newer songs, you know, that I was proud of. And then at the Blue Lights, some people were being like, you know, I could tell like it was resonating with certain people. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, there it is. Like, I fucking been, like, chasing this sound, right? Or, like, you know, in art, you're trying to tell your story, right? To where it's connecting, right? And I've seen it in food, right, over the years. But, like, music, never. And then, so, when it started happening, like, with certain people, and they're telling me, like, they like this song or that song, and they start opening up about their life story, I'm like, holy shit. Like, my music's doing something right now. Like,
yeah.
So, anyways, she got the tickets. Then she's like, and at this festival, they're like, I mean, it's a widely known thing that if you're a songwriter, bring your fucking guitar and throw down at a campfire at night because you don't know who the fuck's listening.
Sweet.
So, like, she's like, take your guitar. That shit better not sit in the truck. So, I'm like, hell yeah. So, all day long, me and my brother's not like the kind to be, like, in the Texas country. Like, you know, he's mainstream music and stuff like that.
He loves Lady Gaga.
Yeah. But
his brother's gay, so he's like,
I mean, who doesn't love Lady Gaga?
But he's all Pop Nation.
But after
not
that,
a cowboy.
But after that weekend, my brother's like all into, like, you know, cats from Lubbock that came up big, like, and now they're big, you know, like William Clark Green, right? Like, because there's a story within Texas country. A lot of it's tied to Lubbock because of Blue Light. But anyways. We waited that whole day. We slept in our truck, my truck, two nights in a row. Man, you know, barely got like 3 hours of sleep each night. But, you know, I'm there and on a mission. I guess I'm back fucking full circle, kind of like with barbecue.
Here we go again.
Yeah, right? So then by the time, we enjoyed the shows that day, but my fucking intention was like, I'm waiting until it gets dark. I'm going to find the campfire, you know? Like, I don't know. I've never been there. So I'm like, I just heard about this shit. This place is huge, dirt roads and, like, you know, campers everywhere, everybody's partying and, you know, doing.
So what's the ticket for? To get in the lot?
Yeah, just to get in. And so, but basically, okay, so then the night comes around, Josh Abbott's finishing playing, and then we're back in my truck, and I'm like, all right, I'm about to grab this guitar. And, you know, so I knew somebody there that knew, like, where a campfire was. It was actually FM Live Campfire, which is one of the radio stations here for Texas Country. And so they're like, come over to this campfire. I'm like, all right, where is it? Well, take a left on this road, and it's dark out there. You know, they're like, take two lefts and one right. So me and my brothers strike out. I'm having my guitar, and then my brother's my wingman, like, hardcore, you know, and we're walking. We get lost in the fucking dark. We're like, what the fuck, dude? Where is this? We're walking, like, if I swear to God, it's like miles, man. That is a Melody Mountain Ranch. It was a mountain. Like, you know, it's a big fucking hill.
Stepping on rattlesnakes and shit.
It was crazy.
It was not my vibe. I could tell the stories.
Yeah. But then we retracted, like, you know, back a little bit and found, seen a group, big group of people. We're like, man, that. That's fucking it, you know. So we walk down there, and sure enough, there's a campfire, FM Live campfire, shit, a lot of people around it, and we're like, oh shit. So I roll up, and then that person I knew is like, man, like, put your guitar down over here, or put your case down over here, like, here's a cooler, you're gonna sit on the fucking cooler, you're gonna play your songs, you better sit down right now, or somebody else is gonna take your spot. I'm like, fuck yeah. All right. I'm like, okay, you know, I played some stages, you know, and like, but I've never played a campfire, honestly. Like, I'm not that cat. Like,
yeah.
But that was an experience for me. But, and it was crazy because, like, at the campfire, like, going around the circle, like, everybody's taking turns. And so there's these two guys in front of me. I don't know even where they were from, like, what part of Texas. But they were doing covers, you know, Turnpike Troubadours or whatever. And so the whole crowd's singing. And I'm like, motherfucker, how am I going to keep up with this shit?
Yeah.
I don't even know covers, dude. Like, I do now more, but I'm like, I've been writing songs, like, and it's harder to get people in tune with your songs you're writing because, you know what I mean?
I want to understand what you said. At that campfire, you found your sound?
No. Like, I found my sound, I would say, like, last year. Within my lyrics and how I wanted to play them.
Okay.
More like honky-tonk, like, old-school style. That's the kind of music I was raised on, honestly. But so I had my songs at that campfire, right? So, yeah, I just sat down, and when it came my turn, you know, I'm just like, all right. I told everybody, I looked across at the guy, one guy that was singing, and I said, all right. They're like, what's your name? I was like, Andrew Bradley Hill. And I was like, I never, you know, I never sang in a campfire before. They're like, it's good. And I was like, all right. I was like, here we go. Then, like, I've been playing at Blue Lights, so I just let it rip. In my, like I said, I have a lot of rhythm in my songs, yeah. So, like, fucking let it rip. And by the end of it, everybody was like, Andrew Bradley Hill, just fucking reverberating.
Sweet.
It was tight. And my brother, too, was tripping on it after I met back up with him because he was in the back of the circle. He was like, dude, it was kind of crazy. Like, everybody's, like, fucking talking about
you. That's got to make you feel some type of way.
It was crazy. Yeah. And then, but, yeah, while we're there at that campfire, you got, it's the last night of the festival, so we just have, like, the three of your tour buses just like blowing down that dirt road, and everybody's hitting on the fucking the tour buses, yeah, like crazy people because everybody's drunk and fucked up. And I'm like sitting there with my guitar. Well, those cats in those tour buses played at those campfires like 5-10 years ago, and I'm like, holy shit. Nice. Like, it's kind of crazy. So I played like a couple songs. There was a guy sitting next to me, he's always on the radio, he's always touring, and like, it was cool. It was an experience. And then somebody pulled me out and was like, hey, these like Texas country investors want to fucking listen to you down the way. We got to walk. I'm like, okay. Wow. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, okay, here we go. Get my guitar. And the whole time, because I'm back to barbecue, like how I felt. It's for my family, dude. Like, yeah. So I'm like, I got my girls, my wife at home. I'm about to make their ass proud.
So you wrote a song about it. Like to hear it.
But yeah, for real, it's crazy. And then I got a lot of songs that where barbecues worked into it, or like the struggles. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. But
so when you become real big and famous and move to Colorado, just remember me,
dude. God, you don't understand how much I want to like finish my record right now, but it's, you know, I don't have the money, but it's gonna happen. Like, yeah, when I do, it's like, I don't know, I've already been playing enough out without having a record and got such a good response that, like, I don't know, when it's done and people can, like, when I have something tangible to where I can get like players in a band to like assemble and like play shows, you know, like,
bro,
it's on, man.
I don't want to sit here and tell you I know anything at all about Honky Tonk. I really don't. But your stuff that you post, and I've even told my wife, I was like, God dang, that dude's pretty fucking good. That's a good ass song. Or
I hope so. Those videos are like, you know, I'm just like trying to put it out there enough so people can be like, okay, this guy's alive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, at this point. But like, and I don't know, I get an energy like when I go play somewhere, then like I said, I receive that energy and I'm like, okay, like, I'm not just bullshitting, like, well, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm doing it for a reason. And then I actually met a guy from Houston, and he's, like, backing the hell out of me. He's so cool, dude. He used to be playing all over the state of Texas with all the Texas country guys that are, like, really big now. But he stopped playing in, like, 2013. He just, like, got off the road. And but he was, like, he had two albums out. Do you know who Jason Isbell is?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, Jason Isbell is like 3 Grammy Awards, just played at United Spirit Arena. Well, his second album, Jason Isbell does all the guitar work and back and a vocal part, you know, on his last song. And this dude's like somebody, like, but he just stopped playing music.
And he's backing you.
Well, he was at the Blue Light randomly one night, and he didn't have a guitar. He was just here because he was like here for his kid or something. And I listened to his songs, and then it was my turn, and then he's like, that's how we met. And he's just like, holy shit. After I got off, he loved my songs. He's like, let me buy your beers. I'm like, okay. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I'm like, holy shit, dude. You know, and then so I got his number, and he's like, I know people in the music business because I played with them, and, you know, they're bigger now, and I know venues and people, like, I will help you. So then he actually came like a month ago or something, and he's like, is there any good shows in town? I'm like, yeah, there's a good one on Thursday night. Like, I want to go to it. He's like, I'll meet you there.
Nice.
So we get there, and I swear to God, the whole night, he's just telling, there's multiple, Blue Light's crazy. It's like the hub of country music, dude. And so, like, all these bands that are bigger, getting bigger, 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 well, they have guitar player or a band manager or whatever, like, lead singer. They're all just there that night.
Like, I had no idea Blue Light politics was a hub like that.
Yeah, dude, hell yeah.
Lubbock is very much like the
It's like crazy.
The capital of Texas country music.
Austin people move here. I've heard a guy that's like, I moved here because it's not in Austin. It's in Lubbock.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
Yep.
For Texas country. Like, dude, all the guys that are out of Lubbock are playing Grand Ole Opry back to back to back nowadays. Like, that 5 to 10 years ago were starting at Blue Light on singer-songwriter night. And they still pop in sometimes on singer-songwriter night, too, like, because, well, unannounced, because they don't want, like, the crowd following them.
Yeah.
And I'll just be sitting there ready to play and then look over and boom.
They bump you.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck, dude? That guy's here. Like, you know, it's badass, dude. But, like, yeah, that night was crazy. That dude's just, like, his name's Sam Sliva. And, but he's, like, telling everybody that he knows that's in, like, badass bands and shit, like, you need to listen to this cat. You need to listen. And I'm like, I ain't got a recording.
Wow.
But I'm like, I told all those band.
I guess you better hurry.
Yeah, right. I told all those band dudes, like, all right, dude, I'll send you, like, I was talking to him too. Like, I want to send you stuff. Like, I want to open for you, dude. Like, they're like, well, send me something. And I'm like, okay. So now I'm like, time's ticking. Like, I better fucking get, like, 2 songs finished at least or something so I can send them.
Nice,
you know?
Man.
But, yeah.
Well, I speak your success in into existence, man. There's no other couple more deserving than y'all. That's awesome, man.
I appreciate you, dude.
I really would love to see
you. I want you to go to the bar with me, because we would have a hell of a time.
If I go to the bar with you, I drink like a fish. So, yeah.
My time is Monday nights every week, because that's when Songwriter Night is. I actually take it pretty easy because if I get too sloshed, I fuck my songs up. But I have like a beer at the beginning, water the whole time, and then a beer at the end. But hell, I'll have a good time either way.
Yeah, when my wife, when I go out with my boys and she stays home, she already knows I'm not coming home till 4 or 5, and I'm going to come home wasted.
I'm like the opposite of Andrew. I'm like, I want to go to bed at 10 o'clock. Yeah. So it's very rare when I go out with them because, you know, the kids and I don't know. I'm not about that party life.
You're not.
I'm a boring
until
person.
She turns up and then I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I don't know how many times I've said this, but we go to Vegas and my wife is exactly bedtime 9. same way. We go to Vegas. I'm like, who the hell is this lady? Like, she's partying more than me, and she's damn. Like, what are we gonna do next? And I'm like, it's 6 a.m. What are you talking about? What are we gonna do next? Like, let's go to bed.
That's kind of how I am. Like, once I get started, I won't stop.
She's out there doing fucking moonwalks on the dance floor, and everybody's like, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? With strangers. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Same. Yeah. You got any shout outs?
No. No, damn. I'm just kidding. I don't let Andrew go first.
I don't know. I could shout out a lot of people.
The whole city of Lubbock.
Yeah, hell yeah. That, yeah. First and foremost, that's actually what I was about to say.
Yeah.
That, and then just, man, anybody who helps us, honestly, ever, like, or in our week-to-week, you know, like, anybody who works with us, Moses Portillo, he's, like, I've known him for a long time, actually, from music scene in my past, you know, but yeah, he's into barbecue, and then I wrangled him and got him to help us with our operation. So he's actually, helped us a lot. Like, he's got a passion for cooking. So mm-hmm.
Right now, I feel like we have a solid team. So definitely shout out to all those dudes.
Yeah, Moses, and then I mean, we got Riley. He's a
hell of a server.
Yeah, he holds it down in the daytime. A new cat, Waylon, which he's going to take. So he'll be with us for a year, maybe.
Yeah,
but. We're always, like, super appreciative of anybody who's helping us out, because we expect a lot out of, like, you know, our operation or whatever, like, out of ourselves. But anybody who sees that, like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, if you're going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, Mike with Friends Barbecue.
Yeah, dude.
I met him with you guys.
Yeah.
And, yep. Man, he's got nothing but great things to say about you guys.
Dude, Mike.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's definitely one of our employees turned friends, for sure.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Nothing but
cat.
Love for him.
So your shout-outs?
Mike.
Mike.
Lubbock. No, I don't know. I mean, I guess the same as Andrew. We have a great crew, so all of those guys. Our family, for sure.
For people that haven't tried your barbecue, can you give them the address?
3017 34th Street.
And it's Yellow House Coffee Hill Barbecue.
I need to kick the Yellow House off the top, honestly. But it, we just try to say it's Hill Barbecue nowadays because there was too much confusion.
I have to say that because I would send people to Hill Barbecue and they'd be like, "You're full of shit. I can't find it. I can't find a Hill
people
Barbecue on 34."
People could not grasp the concept of two businesses coming together. Yeah. So
we tried to be like, "Hey, it's coffee and barbecue." Now we're like, we're just open for the days of barbecue, and you can get any coffee like as you're getting your tray of barbecue. Yeah. You know, so. But yeah,
sweet man. I want to shout out Patriot Payne Construction. I want to shout out Theater Burrito and DJ Kipo. If you guys could please help me out and rate and review the show, like and subscribe on YouTube, share it with a friend, I would really appreciate it, man. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having us.
This was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we can sit here and talk all night, you and I.
We sure will.
But until next time, guys, we'll see you. Read some books!